Good morning, Billy. What's going on, man?
Just like I told you, wanted to do a little podcast with you this morning, man, and just talk to you and rattle your brain and listen to your thoughts and see what's going on in life.
I understand. That's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, as we talked on the phone, you know, first off, we are live right now. Or not live, but we are recording, so... that duct tape up just a little bit, Tom.
I understand.
Well, to everybody, this is Ron Stoffel. He's a good buddy of mine. We've known each other for multiple years. Ron, wouldn't you say close to probably 10 years that we've known each other?
Oh, at least, yeah. It seems like longer than that because you're just a brother from another mother, so yeah.
There you go. But, I mean, yeah, me and Ron were cohorts at work. I don't want to say co-workers. I think with us being military veterans, cohort sounds a whole lot better for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we worked together, I'd say, probably close to 5-6 years, maybe. And,
yeah,
you know, during that time frame, we got to know each other very well, you know, sometimes good and probably a whole lot more times bad.
That's just part of it, man. You know, that's like working with people. You know, everybody has that feelings like, oh man, I get to work with somebody new, and then they realize, oh, I'm going to clash with this person. But it's learning to work things out. That's what we did. But we've always stayed friends through it. So
that's it, man. But you know, as I was telling you on the phone call, in which, you know, we discussed this multiple times because definitely my previous profession as a truck driver and you being a truck driver as well, we've had a lot of time to sit down on the phone and talk. And, you know, I was thinking just yesterday evening that, you know, some of them discussions that we've had, it would be perfect and ideal for a podcast.
Oh, I agree.
And you know, some of the things that God has led me to here recently is to get out and really share my story with everybody. And I'm literally trying to share my story in every platform that I can.
Right.
If there's a way that I could run by and smack somebody backside the head and share my story, I could, or I would.
Yeah, well, you remind me of a, yeah, I hate to cut you off, but you remind me of, I remember this, this preacher one time, he was very zealous, and he was trying to win everybody to the Lord, and he went out, and one night, he ended up running into a biker, and he ended up talking to this biker, and got the biker saved, and he says, what am I supposed to do now? And he says, well, you're supposed to go out, and you're supposed to win people to the Lord. So the biker's like, I can do that, brother, I can do that. So he takes off, and the preacher ended up giving the phone number to the biker. And he said it wasn't more than 24 hours later, it was about 11 o'clock at night, he gets a phone call. And he's like, who is this? So he answers the phone. He goes, brother, he says, I got one, and you did such a good job, and I'm still learning. He said, can I bring this guy over to you? He says, I want to tell him about the Lord, but I just don't have the words that you use. He's like, well, sure, come on, bring him on over. So a couple of minutes later, this biker shows up with this young dude, and they're sitting there, and they're then talking, and the preacher kind of noticed that the young guy that this biker brought in kind of like sweat bullets. So he sits there, he listens, and he starts talking to him. He goes, can I ask a couple questions? He goes, sure. Young man looks at him. He goes, yes, sir, you can. He goes, he says, you want to know about the Lord? He says, oh, yeah, I definitely want to know about the Lord. He says, do you mind if I ask why you're here now? He's, oh, that's easy. He says, I was just sitting there at the bar, and this biker dude comes up to me and says, I'm going to tell you about the Lord, and you're going to listen. He says, he was bigger than I was, so I figured I'd better do what he says or I was going to get hurt. So by that time, the preacher realized, I may need to do a little bit more training about how we're supposed to win people to the Lord.
So I guess, know, the theory and phrase strong arming someone to the Lord's not a good concept.
No, not in our day and age. A lot of people don't understand that our churches, it's one of the things that we really need to work on. And I did a study a while ago where I got really convicted by the Lord about, you know, some things. And he kind of showed me that all the friendships I had were people that were saved in the church. And, you know, and that wasn't a bad thing because I was working in ministry. He said, but Ron, you missed the picture. And I was like, what do you mean? He had me write down everybody I knew. He says, now cross everybody off on that piece of paper that you know they say have a relationship with the Lord. And when I did, I realized everybody was crossed off. He goes, I didn't tell you to go to the church and save all people that already saved you. So I told you to go to the hedgeways and the byways and stuff like that. And he says, you need to start getting out more so you can actually build a relationship to people so you can do what I called you to do.
Well, yeah, you're right. But, you know, just to back up from just a minute ago, you know, I think strong-arming people to the Lord has been successful in a way because, you know, I've hosted four wrestling shows. You know, through that ministry, we've been able to drop kick, leg drop, body slam, punchline a lot of people for the Lord.
Right. So let's have an honest conversation here. Because I agree with you. I think there are times it's kind of like, okay, let's look at an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? Evangelists usually come into town. They're hired to come to a church, and they're paid to be there for a 3-day service. And usually what happens to church is they go out and they try to invite everybody they can. And what is the evangelist's job? His job is to basically do what you said. He's the guy who's bringing the hard word, who's bringing that. He brings the stories. But he's trying to grab those people that just normally wouldn't go to church. And I agree. There are times that maybe a strong arm is useful. And I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. But also, there's another approach. There's different approaches to this. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, there's always, you know, different approaches to getting somebody, you know, to open up their eyes and their heart and their soul for the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, it was a conversation that me and Pastor Jones had well over a year ago. You know, we were talking about my ministry and, you know, he's like, man, you got one of the most unorthodox ways of, you know, introducing the Lord. But, you know, he said, it doesn't matter how you get out and spread the word, as long as you're doing, you know, what God desires by going out there and talking to people about him.
Right.
So whether, right, you know, like Pastor John. You know, he'd get out on a boat and go fishing and talk about the Lord to, you know, my ministry with pro wrestling. I've seen car shows that are ministries. I've seen you know, music festivals and even, believe it or not, sporting events. That, you know, it's basically you're using your idea, or and this is the way that I feel, is, you know, you're using your idea on how to introduce the Lord and not literally force it down their throat.
Okay, sorry about that.
I apologize. Really, my headset was doing something funny.
That's all right.
But go ahead. Can you repeat what you just said? I apologize.
Well, those of y'all that are listening, all right. Well, first off, you know, those of y'all that are listening, Ron's still at work, actually, and he's a route delivery driver for a parts distribution company, and he's got a Bluetooth headset on, so he probably dropped it off his head while he was moving a pallet around. But, you know, what I was saying is, you know, there's so many different platforms that you can do to, you know, introduce the Lord to people, as long as you're not doing it and forcing it down their throats. You know, in some of the earlier part of my days, you know, I had a lot of people attempt to do that, and right, that actually pushed me away from it. And after I rededicated my life, I got two buddies of mine that are that were youth pastors together, and we were close for several years, you know, with me in pro wrestling and just us hanging out. And, you know, I asked him after I rededicated my life, I was like, you know, why did you not push me to rededicate my life anytime sooner? And one of them, you know, Mike Pegg, Mike summed it up very quick. He said, the Lord didn't tell me to do it then. And, you know, I would have, you know, prior to that, a lot of people just would preach and preach and preach to me, and I would ignore them. You know, I actually, I had a situation when my mother was hospitalized and she had had a stroke. And she asked for the hospital chaplain, are you dropping that headset again?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me now?
Are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, I was having to adjust some things on the fly here. So, but no, I agree with you. And like you were saying, you know, there are times even in my own life before I actually, you know, was saved. And I can remember that, you know, I'd listen to certain people and just the way they came across would just turn me off totally, you know. And then it was, and you know, it's different for everybody. Me, I'm an intellectual. I'm the type of person, I like to break something down. And that was kind of the hard process for me to actually accept the Lord, because I was such an intellectual. I want to gain as much information and think about it and look about it. When it comes to accepting the Lord, it's kind of hard because, you know, faith is not, you know, something you can scientific, you know what I'm saying? It's not something that you can just turn around and say, well, if I quantify this and this. And so eventually I can remember talking to a couple different people and they were able to explain it to me in such a way that all of a sudden it clicked for me, you know? And I think it's different with everybody. Everybody's at a different point in their life, but I wanted to go back to something you were saying that I don't know if you've ever observed. I've watched you, Billy. I'm being honest now. I've watched you, and I can remember who you were and the type of person you were before you got saved and dedicated your life to the Lord. But there's one thing that I know for a fact that has never changed between before and after. And you know what that is? You have the ability to build friendships. When you talk to somebody, there's a genuineness in how you approach somebody. You're very forward. You're very straight with them. And that's one of the things that I think I've always noticed that I always felt was such an awesome thing, because one thing I know with you is I would never, ever have to question where I'm standing with you.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's you know, that's actually a characteristic and trait that you know, you and myself were both mm-hmm. exposed to when we were in the military. I think a lot of people in life waste too much time beating around the bush instead of just saying things. I think that sometimes with that, my bluntness hurt me in life, because I've upset some people and not sugarcoated it the way that they wanted to hear it. But, you know, it is something that, you know, I don't plan on changing. And yes, I you know, that's one of the things that I actually, I guess you could say I pride myself is I enjoy having that attitude and demeanor, because, you know, everybody does know how I stand with them and they stand with me, because I'm not going to sugarcoat what I need to say to them. And going back on that, you know, when you saying that, you know, you've known me in two different lifestyles, I know that, you know, Ron, you've seen me in the days to where I didn't believe in the Lord. I'd lost all hope with him, and you have actually got to see firsthand on what the Lord has led me to do to get out and pass his word on. And, you know, the next part, that's what I'd like for you to talk about is really what has Ron seen from the old to the
Oh, I love this story. Well, you know, there's a lot of different – the thing that gets me the most is I love when God takes somebody that – and I'm sure you had people say this to you. They did it for me before I got saved. They would look at Billy Neely and they would go, there's no way God would save somebody like that.
Oh man, when I posted it on social media, I had a lot of people hit me up.
And see, that's what I love about God. He does the impossible. Because I'm gonna tell you this, Billy. I've known you for quite a while. And I've seen you on both sides, and you know, we all have strengths and weaknesses. We all succeed and we all fail. And there was a time in your life where I knew you were struggling. I knew that you just had issues that you weren't able to put to rest, that you were wrestling with. And when you were wrestling with all those things, it got compounded because of the different things you were doing in your lifestyle. But then, go ahead.
Oh, yes, you know, definitely struggling with things. And, you know, I have shared this, and I know that I've shared it with you. I mean, it was so bad with my faith that, you know, I was to the point of just wanting to end my life. I mean, that's how bad it was. I've told multiple people, you know, I know what the
oh, yeah. You know, I've had that discussion. Like.
And that's... That's a horrible thing to say nowadays because I now, you know, realize that I was so selfish.
This is the transformation that I see. You know, I saw the Bill O'Neill that was hardcore, who, you know, who wouldn't take guff from anybody, who if somebody looked at him or said something wrong, he'd just as soon step up and try to give a beat down or offer the beat down. But then what I saw happen is I can remember when you told me at the conversation you had, you said, well, I decided to stop drinking. And I know you remember this conversation because I said, excuse me? I said, what? Billy Neely stopped drinking. No way. And he said, yeah. He says, I'm giving it up for a year or so. And we just went through that conversation. And it may have been longer than that, but I remember you were telling me you were giving up. But to me, that was a great starter and turning point in your life, because once that started happening, all of a sudden these issues, these angers and these things, it almost made you have to start dealing with some of the stuff. But it would started happening in such a way that before you would get upset, go drink, go pound on something. Now, because you had made a commitment not to drink, you had no choice but to start dealing with those issues. And then I started. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my drinking was my way to shelter and hide everything that I had going on, you know, from my childhood to my military days and even to, you know, the demons in my head to where it affected my marriage and all of that. And it was definitely the Lord working because, you know, when I asked the Lord to take that urge away from me, you're right. I had to face every problem I had.
Right.
I had to come up with a solution and ask the Lord to stand beside
right.
me.
And that's what I thought was so amazing, because in those moments that I could see you struggling with those things, and you've had conversations, I would say something to you, you'd say something to me. But what was really cool about that whole situation is as you started dealing with those situations, I could see how God was restoring that which was lost in your anger and your bitterness and your upsetness. Because as you started dealing with those things, I started seeing slow little things happen. Like, for instance, you know, you've always been a huge, I'm for my kids. And when I first started hearing what was going on, I started recognizing that God was doing more than just
reaffirming your love for your kids, but he was actually giving a great example to your kids for them to look at you and go, wow, dad's changed. I don't know about you all, but.
It did, and I think it really reassured things for one of my kids. It let him know and actually, made his faith towards God even stronger by answering a prayer. My next youngest son was praying for me and, asking God to have his dad stop drinking and his dad stop partying and, have his dad closer to him. And he was able to get that prayer answered. And, it's definitely, that's been an amazing thing, because the love for my kids have always been there, but to now physically be able to show it to them and enjoy life with them, that's priceless. And even though that son of mine now is 16 and grown and he's playing multiple sports and has a job and has a girlfriend, we still have that bond. And and even though because we were both teenage males at one point in time, and when you get between the ages of 14 and 18, you don't want dad to come up and hug you no more. And that, I guess you could say that the affections of love on how parents have with kids, but and I do it to him all the time because he quotes, I don't like people touching me. I was like, boy, I'm your dad. I'm gonna hug you and tell you I love you. And to be able to experience those things and really give my son, I don't want to say a lesson, but to let him know and be reassured that prayer works. I mean, it's phenomenal. Are you there? Well, it seems that we lost Ron probably due to the cell phone signal. I just want to go back and, definitely just retrack on the few things about that. And let you all know that, prayer does work. It's definitely been shown and proven in my life with what I was just talking about my son. But I'm going to go ahead and let, take another pause. I'm going to, do a little sponsorship advertising right here, and I'm going to try to reconnect with Ron and see if we can finish up this conversation. Thank you all for listening. Hope y'all stay and listen to the last part of this. And, this is another segment of Who Was the Real Billy Neely.
You there?
Hey there.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's all right. Sometimes modern technology doesn't want to agree with us. Definitely there's a little bit of distance in between us. I think you're over in New Orleans right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm heading back towards Mobile.
Yeah, and I'm coming into Birmingham, so we definitely got about a 5-hour difference in distance between us.
Right. No, what I was going to say real quick, just to recap, I was really great to see how not only did God answer your son's prayer and your strength and your relationship strengthened, but also the start of the restoration of a relationship that, to be honest, I didn't think God would ever restore. You know what relationship I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, the things that that he has done, the Lord is overturned so many stones, and instead of replacing them with, I guess you'd say, bad situations in life, he's definitely, gave me, clearer situations. And, in both of us being military veterans, we've, we've experienced so many different things in life, and
right.
you know, definitely the next thing that I wanted to talk with you about and get your input is, you know, with that being said, you know, I'd say I don't know the true percentage, but you know, I'm just with my experiences, I'm going to say about 60 to 70% of military members, you know, suffer from PTSD or PTSD. And,
right.
you know, most people know what PTSD is, as being post-traumatic stress disorder, and nobody knows what STSD is. And that's secondary, you know, stress disorder.
Right.
And it's something that society is definitely, you know, not educated on, and just as well as a lot of society is about, you know, the Lord as well. And, you know, I'll start off with, you know, my experience in PTSD. I think it started as a child with PTSD, situations that took place. And I'm not going to go into detail today because that's actually another segment that I plan on doing just by myself. But, you know, with the military and even as a police officer, you know, there's been so many stressful situations that brought back nightmares and anxiety and,
right.
and panic attacks and stuff like that. And, you know, for me, until I rededicated my life, I sought treatment, you know, through, you know, a counselor and a psychologist multiple times, and even have consulted with pastors and stuff, and you know, and I fought it.
Right.
And the reason why I fought it is you know, in my head, I was thinking, you know, here I am, I'm a military veteran, I'm a combat veteran, and I don't need this type of help. You know, I'm the top of the food chain. I'm the baddest there is, and you know, we don't need that help. That's something that, you know, we can just suck it up and drive on. And I know you've heard that phrase maybe a time or two in your life.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so what I did to cope from all of that is I literally, you know, I resorted to alcohol. You know, to me, I go get a case of beer and I drink it and I drink my sorrows away.
Right.
And I really never, as we were talking about earlier on, I really never faced it head on. And, you know, I know that I've shared this with you, but, you know, prior to my transition, I had multiple nightmares. I would relive the situations, and it would throw fuel in the fire to where I'd get, you know, angrier and angrier. It definitely, you know, it ruined a lot of friendships. It ruined a lot of relationships, and it really left a bad taste with society on how I reacted. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, being able to cope with it, and definitely with the, you know, the journey of what God has given me is, you know, my nightmares now, I would say, you know, in the past, I would have about 5 to 15 a night.
Right.
So that meant, you know, I would probably get an average of about 3 to 4 hours of sleep every night.
Right.
And my nightmares now, you know, and believe it or not, is I might have one once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many things that have went on in my life to bring up those nightmares that, you know, that's a segment for itself, but, you know, it's really, I guess I'm appalled or not even appalled. I'm just, I'm lost for words at times on why something so easy was so hard.
Well, and, I cannot.
Go ahead. And I think we lost Ron again. I think we have. Well, I'm just going to continue talking about the PTSD. You know, yes, it definitely I let it consume my life, and that was a way that I should not have let it consume my life. I should have really went out there and sought the proper treatment, and I should have never hid the demons that I had built up inside, and all the anger and all the hurt and all that, and just blanketed by, you know, a case of beer or a bottle of whiskey or a mason jar of moonshine, and just as a man and as a father, I should have really just sat down with God and talked about it and really just let it work its way out the way that it should have, instead of, you know, becoming an alcoholic and losing my kids. I don't want to say forever, but you're losing my kids temporarily. Are you there, Ron?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, I was going to say is this. See, and I apologize. I don't know what happened, but a lot of people don't know this about me, but my father, when I was very young, my father was a Hell's Angel, and he was a drug addict, drug dealer. He was an alcoholic, and he would get drunk, and he would beat my brother and I and our stepmom just for the fun of it. And, you know, there were times where I couldn't go to school for a couple of days because of what he did to us. And what people don't realize is, you know, we have our military veterans who have PTSD, but on the same side, when I was young, I had PTSD and didn't know I had it. Yeah. And what people don't understand is I would get so frustrated and so mad, and I was such an angry kid, but I had no way of dealing with it. I was like you. I would have nightmares. In fact, I think I told you this. I was watching Sons of Anarchy. Somebody told me, oh, you need to watch this. You need to watch this. I'd kind of stayed away from it because I knew I had certain triggers. But I can remember I was watching one of the shows, and it was showing the patch over that they did for another club, another bike club, and I had to shut it off because it triggered me. I can remember being a kid in a bar watching my father and others, Hell's Angels, do over patch over, but it literally was messing with my head so bad that I had to shut it down. I literally did that, but it wasn't until years later that I actually, it wasn't until about 22 when I tried to take my life, when I was in the military, I tried to take my life, and thank goodness I had a first sergeant that was looking out for me, and he knew that if he'd sent me to the alcohol side of the hospital, I would have lost my career. But he knew I needed more than that, so he put me on the psych side of the hospital, and he actually got me the help that I needed to help me deal with my anger. But that's when I actually came to realize that I had PTSD as a kid growing up being abused and going through all that traumatic stuff with my father. I mean, I got to see my dad take a shotgun and shoot one of his own kids. And it's things like that that people don't realize. That's what gives the PTSD. That's what those traumatic events. But what I think is so awesome is after I found the Lord, you know what I found him doing? I found him taking those bad things that I had, and he was replacing them in my life with good things. What were the good things? He would take the word of God. He would have me read a passage, and I would start to understand the passage, and it would start replacing that negative stuff in my life. And he would do things like that. I would be surrounded. I happen to be surrounded by some older men, which I was very thankful, who had been with the Lord for a long time, and they were gentle enough and patient enough with me to sit down and let me just ask questions. Let me just vent sometimes and get that anger out. And they would recognize those things because they themselves had went through it when they were younger. And I was very thankful. And so what he started doing is he started helping me with prayer in my life. He started taking the word. And what that word is, it exposed the truths. Even if it was hurtful to me at the time, that truth and that word would change my perspective of, well, you know what? I don't have to let that control my life because God can help me take care of that. God's the one in control, so I don't have to fight anymore. I have to let him be what he's supposed to be in my life. And it's through those things, those moments, that when we finally surrender and we realize, okay, enough's enough. I can't do it anymore. I can't be this angry person. I can't be this mad person. I'm just tired. And it's at that point when we do that surrendering, when we finally say, enough's enough, I can't do it, then God goes and he kind of chuckles. I think he has a great sense of humor. He goes, man, yeah, I've been waiting for you just to let go and let me be. Let me take a chance at it. You know, let me do what I do well. And you may not understand it right now, but you'll understand it when I get done. And I see that in you. I see what God's done in your life through all these different steps and how he's slowly but surely working through you. And he's making you such a positive, and he's putting all these positive things in your life. And it's literally, it's like just watching a transformation happen before my eyes.
It's definitely been a major transformation. And, you know,
let me ask you a question, Billy. Let's get real. Does it scare you sometimes?
No, it does not.
Do what now? You there? Hello? Are you there? Thank you.